Welcome to the show tonight, 19th of January, Tuesday, on Endpoint Sight, with Jeremy from Kentucky on Republic Broadcasting Network. Go to RBN, republicbroadcasting.org, upper left-hand corner, smash that donate button, and send money. We're going to need it for free speech to stay alive. Also, we have the chat, endpointsight.chatango.com, site spelled S-I-T-E. Set up by our very own Mur Bailey. Thank you, Mur. And the number to call in is 512-248-8252. Doing call-in tonight, the Caped Crusader is doing a mission, a very important mission. And you can check out the mission tomorrow on National Bugle on RBN here at 1 p.m. Central on Wednesday. We will have him back tomorrow night with his regular appearance to do political analysis that you find very intriguing, hopefully. And tonight we're doing call-ins again. Call-in nights seem to be popular. There is not a lack of information flow, though, so we will have much prep. But give me a call. Tell me what you think. Tell me what's on your mind. I want to know what you're thinking. So we've got... Kentucky is the first in many ways. If you remember, the state of Kentucky was one of the first states to declare Trump the winner in 2016, as well as 2020 in this just past election. But we have another first, according to Wave3.com. Kentucky man was first to enter the Capitol through a smashed window. How about that? Badge of honor? I don't know. Maybe. Definitely putting us on the map here. Louisville, Kentucky, Wave. Wave.com. Wave 3 News. A fourth Kentuckian has now been charged in relation to the siege at the Capitol's, at the nation's capital. Michael Sparks of Hardin County, Kentucky, was charged Friday. After an investigation by the FBI, the criminal complaint includes several photos and links to videos of a man they identified as Sparks. The documents state a tipster told the FBI about Sparks attending the rally. The tipster told authorities that she heard Sparks tell another person, "This time we are going to shut it down." Quote unquote. The complaint also includes posts allegedly made by Sparks talking about his plans to go to the rally as promoted by President Trump. Before we go on with the article, let me just make a little commentary. I don't know this guy Sparks. I don't know his story. This just caught my eye today when I was compiling articles for the prep. But I want you to think about the Patriot Act post 9/11 being used on white Christian American citizen Trump supporters. Of course it can be used against non-whites, sure. Sure it can. Don't want to exclude you people of color who are with us. But they are making a very pointed effort to target white men here. And I want you to just think about everything that you've posted online. All of those edgy posts that you've done, if you do online stuff, maybe you don't. Things even that you said to friends and family. And now the FBI is cracking down on people like us. People who are true patriots who supported the American Republic as founded, and who called this election out to be a hoax. Maybe you don't even like Donald Trump. Who knows? Who cares? But they're targeting you no matter what. Even if you were an avid, you know, Trump's controlled opposition and so on and so forth, you're still being targeted. That is the message here. Let me go on with the article here. A new dawn is coming. Quoting Sparks, "Be ready. Just pray and trust the Lord." Sparks, the individual that was the first Kentuckian film storming the Capitol. Again, quoting Sparks, he said, "Trump will be your president 4 more years, in Jesus' name." Another post read, "No need to reply to this. Just be ready for a lot of big events." I would not exactly call that Fed posting. I will, however, make another comment on this article before we move on. The majority of Trump supporters are Christians. Yes, the majority are white. Let's just deal with that. Maybe there's some people of color listening who are very patriotic, who supported Trump and who did not want to see the Republic fall. And we're not, you know, we're not pushing you out. You're on our side, period, regardless of your race. But here's the thing. They are targeting white Christian men. And this could very easily turn into, as they're stating now, Trump supporters are terrorists. This could easily turn into Christians are terrorists. It's those pesky Christian churches that stayed open. Those really hardcore fundamental churches, right? The ones that preach against sodomy and trannyism and that say that America was great as founded. Those churches, the ones that refused to close down in the COVID hoax lockdowns, endangering entire communities. Not wearing masks, my God. You're going to church and singing, you fascist, and you're not going to wear a mask. You're not going to shut down according to the governor's order. You're a danger to society. That's how I see this playing out. I actually see this as overall a broad stroke targeting MAGA, Make America Great Again, Trump supporters, but also just targeting Christians who would not fold to the government, who obeyed God rather than man, and who assembled together as we are commanded to do by the Creator. This could very easily target Christians. It could go in a variety of different directions, but this is the main one that I see coming. All right. Let me go on with the article from Wave 3 News. The criminal complaint is like a roadmap tracking Sparks' movements inside. Ooh, tracking. The documents describe the moments when a group ran after an officer. Sparks confronted him after the officers yelled for him to leave now. "We're standing here for you as well," Sparks said in the video. Now, this is Sparks actually addressing the officers, telling the police officers, the law enforcement, that they're standing for them. I mean, indeed, most, and you know, MAGA supporters, the people that showed up at the rally on January 6th, were for law enforcement. We don't want anarchy. We want law enforcement. Another quote from the article, "This is our America, and this is our America," Sparks shouted. The videos and pictures are only part of the FBI's case. Sparks is one of more than 200 people identified by the FBI, which has already made more than 100 arrests. As of Monday afternoon, Sparks had not been arrested. He's charged with entering a restricted building, violent entry and disorderly conduct, and obstructing law enforcement. And this is all according to the Wave 3 News. So there you go. Further fallout from the January 6th Capitol protest that I actually predicted on January 5th on this show would turn into a Charlottesville 2.0, where they have a legit rally with patriots with legit concerns who are targeted by the federal government after a false flag is set up. The false flag being federal confidential informants led true American patriots into the Capitol for a huge gay op, a gay operation. something that's fake, something that, I mean, a false flag, you know, sums it up, but gay up is the modern term where they set you up for this prosecution, for this persecution and prosecution. So, very interesting article that I thought that I would share with you tonight. And, you know, moving on down the prep list, what is this whole thing coming to? I listened into Rush today just to see what his take is, because the take of Rush is often the take of millions, tens of millions of Trump supporters. The audience is supposed to be 40 million for Rush. Probably more people than that actually tune in at various parts of the day. And definitely Rush's audience represents the 75 to 80 million plus people that voted for Trump that pushed back against this election fraud. And so I wonder, what are they setting us up for? Rush did mention today on his show that McConnell and his wife, Chao, have ties with the Chi-Coms. That's Chinese communists. And I'm not here to do a whole China is the real threat thing. I'm on the fence on that one. I'm willing to listen to anybody that has a point of view on that. But I will say that China has not been the threat for decades and decades. I don't even know that they're a threat now, other than they've just gained a lot of power and wealth from Western economies. And who blames them? I mean, if they want to do a power grab, whatever. But it's the Jewish-dominated elite in our country that has, since the very visually since the 1950s, gained a foothold in our politics, banking, and media. They're the threat, but we, you know, it could be that we have new threats on the horizon. I'm not going to throw that out. But what I want to point out here is that we have absolutely no interest. We have no benefit in a conflict with China in any form or fashion. And so Rush is pivoting here to talking about how Peter Schweizer, who is a huge critic of Mitch McConnell. Critic is probably a very tame word. And I can't stand Mitch McConnell. I wish he would just leave and go represent some other state. As far as I'm concerned, he's not welcome in Kentucky, but I can't stop him. If I could, I would. Trust me. That was not a threat, FBI agents listening in. That was just me voicing a general opinion that I disdain Mitch McConnell. But anyway, Rush referenced a New York Post article today. Peter Schweizer, who delved into the Clinton Foundation's dealings in 2016's Clinton Cash, has turned his sights to the money-making machinations of D.C.'s political elite. His new book called Secret Empires, How the American Political Class Hides Corruption and Enriches Family and Friends. That's the title of the book, by the way. It was published by Harper and Collins. It exposes how politicians engage in corruption by proxy by exploiting family and business ties to enrich themselves and relatives. Here, the Post's Larry Gitlin details the book's revelations on Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and Transportation of Secretary Elaine Chao. I didn't say that right. Don't care. Ex-Commerce Secretary Penny Pritzker, and others. And so the article reads, in 2004, current Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and his wife had an average net worth of $3.1 million. Pretty good. 10 years later, that number had increased to somewhere between $9.2 million and then $36.5 million. One source of the windfall, according to a new book from Peter Schweizer, was a 2008 gift from Chao's father, James Chao, for somewhere between $5 million and $25 million. But this gift could be seen as more than just a gift. It may have been acquired, according to Schweizer, thanks to the couple's fealty to China, the source of the Chao family fortune. And that fealty may have occurred at the expense of the nation they had pledged to serve. Now, this whole thing, This whole Schweitzer article, I will say, is just more propaganda to get us into conflict with China. Is China a threat? I don't know. Could be. Who cares? They bought up a bunch of stuff in our local area. They bought a paper mill and created a bunch of jobs. I'm not really crying over that. But what I will say is that regardless of what you view China as, we don't want a conflict with them, and that is the direction that our establishment is moving into, and we don't want that. Nor do we want a conflict with Russia and Iran. And Rush was mentioning this today. Rush pretty much threw McConnell under the bus because I guess they're old pals. McConnell used to call the show several times after the Senate lost and give Rush this whole, excuses and reasons why we lost the Senate. And it's all going to be okay. It's, you know, it's not the end of the world, Rush. McConnell used to call Rush. So they were maybe not friends, but definitely they communicated on a regular basis. And now Rush is throwing McConnell completely under the bus, as he should. McConnell is a dirtbag traitor. He's a turtle, I guess. He's a disgusting man, and he is totally going along with the election hoax, saying that Biden legitimately won. And that we should just all give up and play along with the system. So this guy is total trash. But I think that Rush being willing to throw him under the bus and referencing Schweitzer's article on this Chinese connection is a play. This is a bigger thing where conservatives are being pushed into this aggression towards China. There's a lot of anger out there, you see, people. There's a lot of anger of normies, and these normies want answers and they want justice. And if Trump doesn't get with Q and have the military arrest all of these satanic pedophiles, as some people think he's going to do late tonight or early tomorrow, if that doesn't happen, these normies are going to need to be placated, enter conflict with China. That's if the conservative cucks, the conservative establishment that Rush is obviously speaking for, their goal, their direction now is going to be directed toward anti-China propaganda. Again, I'm not saying that I love China and they're totally innocent and they're not trying to pull some stuff. Probably they are. I know William from Montana gave us a lot of good insight on that. What I am saying is that we don't want a conflict and that we're being drawn into this, we're being pushed into this, and the new conservative movement is going to take the energy from MAGA and push it into some sort of conflict and anger towards China, anger towards Biden, which is anger towards China. And who knows, maybe even when Biden is 25 amendmented out of the office and Kamala Harris is installed, maybe even the Democrats will go along with the conservative cuts. Remains to be seen. Got a break. Coming up after the break, we'll continue to analyze this and with your calls.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Awake every morning and the cold winds cover me. All I've got's a ghost of what could be. If you could see the lights shine in front of me. If you can see the light shine out where you'll be.
Welcome back. In plain sight, Jeremy from Kentucky on a laid-back Tuesday night. Martinis and Heineken edition, what are you drinking? And Mer Bailey mentioned in the chat that Mitch McConnell's chick is pronounced chow. C-H-A-O is pronounced chow. Thank you, Mer. I'm not up on my Chinese. I do study Wing Chun, though. Got that going for me in case we get invaded. Oh, we got a caller. William from Montana. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Jeremy. I was so looking forward to hearing your voice tonight. I've been kind of down, and I just needed to have a pick-me-up, and an honest man will do that for me every time. So thank you.
Thanks, William.
I just wanted to say that here we are the night before. You know, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. And again, I emphasize that people need to dig deep and have faith that many of us have worked very hard to get to the bottom of things. We don't know all the answers. We can't possibly track everything down, and we shouldn't. That's kind of a waste of our energy. But it is important to look around, see what's happening. Like I say, I follow a lot of stuff that happens in Russia. And today was a very interesting day. Across Russia and much of Eastern Europe, the Orthodox Christians have a ritual that many of them do. They submerge themselves in sub-zero temperatures on Tuesday, this Tuesday, to mark Epiphany, which commemorates the baptism of Jesus in the River Jordan. And in Moscow, they cut like about 220 bathing spots, usually in lakes and rivers, where they actually cut the shape out, shape of the cross. And people will come there, and in some places it's quite large. They have like, you know, 10,000 parking places so people can come there. And you kind of get down to your bathing shorts, and then you walk down into the water. And I saw Putin do this in Moscow, and it was a cutout in the ice, the shape of the cross. And he entered the freezing waters, and then he baptized himself three times, you know, each time when he came out of the water making the sign of the cross, and then turned around and walked back and put a robe on. And to me, it was such a simple act of faith. And, you know, there was no fanfare, there was no flashing lights, you know, there wasn't like a dozen people standing around him. He was in the picture alone, you know, so nobody was standing there with their, you know, cell phones filming it for posterity. And I just felt very blessed by any world politician that makes a confession of faith simply and directly and with, you know, humility. That gives me hope. Whatever happens tomorrow, we have to taste and know that deep faith. That is a resource for the people who have it, and they should understand just how blessed they are to have that during these trying times, because, like I say, no matter what happens, we're going to have to be able to rely upon something deeper than just political analysis or social analysis to get us through the coming times. And I certainly thank you from the bottom of my heart for supplying this program and bringing your faith to this program and sharing it with the rest of us. So be blessed, and thank you again. Bye-bye.
Thank you for your call, William. Always enjoyed. And that's a very touching story. Here in Kentucky, we had a little bit of a different display of faith. We had a men's night at church. Once a month, all of the men and the boys from our church gather together, and we have dinner, and we have speakers, and we do activities. And back in September, when it was still warm, we had a shootout night. We got there early, and we cooked burgers and dogs, and everybody brought their 12 gauges and their 410s, and it was beautiful. We had a skeet guy set up, and you know, we would help these 9, 10, 11-year-old boys all the way up to 16 shoot clay discs flying through the air. And it was just, the kids loved it. The men loved it. And we had a night of fellowship. And we try to do something like that every month. But that particular night was beautiful. And because it just brought us all together, and it made us forget about the problems of the world. We've got a break, and if you want to hang on, you can, but we'll be on the other side, and I want to share just a little bit more about that night when we get back.
By going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Huh. For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile oxysilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Back to the show.
In plain sight. And I was just sharing our men's night where we went shooting. William, are you still with us? A chance? I think William's gone.
He's no, I'm probably here. Still.
Oh, good, good, good. I was just going to share this.
Years.
That particular night, you know, we were out shooting 12 gauges and the kids were shooting 410s. And as we were training them to hit these clay discs, as they started hitting them, you know, an hour later, the grin and the excitement on these young boys' faces, just, you couldn't put a value on that. And, you know, we were talking amongst ourselves and saying, you know, we're training the next generation. And that particular night, we had a couple of lefties there, people in the church that were, you know, a little leftist. They were traditional Democrats. They certainly do not approve of trannies or homo marriage, but you know, they voted Democrat all their lives, and we all were united with these guns and the fact that the American Republic could at some point be threatened and that we're training the next generation to defend themselves and to handle firearms responsibly. That was a very uniting moment, and we prayed to God the Father that night in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for all of these young men as they grew up. And that is what it's about, you know, bringing people together of like faith and of patriotism. And I think that's the focus now that we should be on. And I don't know, what do you got? You got a couple of comments left.
I had a similar experience when I was growing up because my brother was fought in World War II in General Patton's 3rd Army Tank Division. He was a tank commander. And I was born in 46, and so we used to have the men's class from our Baptist church come up come up to our house and pray and just have fellowship. And my brother got an idea that he was going to build a horseshoe court up in the woods. And he cleared a couple trees, and he built this horseshoe court, and he built this, you know, hot dog hamburger thing out of concrete brick. And when those men's class would come up, and I was allowed to go up at night, and he had lights, he strung lights from these trees, and I could watch them play horseshoes and have hot dogs and hamburgers, I was just, I couldn't believe I could be that lucky. And one of the bunch of the trees in this area where he built the horseshoe court had these really long, you know, 6, 8, 10 inch long red thorns. And he had to use a ladder very carefully to go up and string the lights up there. And one night I remember I had a Bible lesson at church a couple of days before, and I saw those thorns under the light, and I had such a deep, deep faith, you know, in the crucifixion. And I couldn't believe, you know, I was like very young at the time, but I knew what I was feeling, and I knew what I saw, and that, you know, 70 years ago, you know, I still remember that. I remember that moment, and I remember how incredible that is for men to give a young boy, you know, the fellowship and the understanding and the deep faith. And so thank you for your story, and I want to bless everyone out there and say we'll get through it. Whatever it is, we're going to get through it. Thank you very much, everyone, and thank you, Jeremy.
Thank you, William. Appreciate your heartfelt comments and your anecdote. And so we're going to move on to the next caller. We got Pat from North Carolina. Pat, welcome to the show.
How you doing, buddy?
Doing great, my friend.
You too. Happy Robert E. Lee Day. You know, even though I'm a northerner from Connecticut, living in the South now. But I think there's a lot more hope for us than there might be. It might seem like right now, you know, I just wanted to throw that out there. I don't even know where to start. Like I was listening to the show. Denying Mitch is a good place to start if you wanted to start there. I honestly don't believe China is a threat, but I was thinking of, you know, how we're going to survive. Are they really trying to shut down the church at this point? I wanted to get like kind of like your take. That's really what's happening, which it seems to me. You know, I've been reading through the Stormer. I've been paying attention to my feed on Apple, you know, and it's kind of like the narrative you just laid out is actually, you know, happening. One thing, though, that, you know, I don't really, you know, I went to a gas station today. I live like in a rural area, but I went to the city to the gas station. And I walked in there, and there were two African-American female attendants, and they were wearing their masks. It was just me in there, and I ripped off my mask. I was like, this shit's fucking bullshit. Oh, I said, this is bull crap, you know? This is a stake. Why are you guys wearing this? Like, what has the government done for you? Because I can tell you what the government did for me. It enslaved me in $60,000 with the student loans and then told me to go pound sand. So I went to public school. And I grew up in a neighborhood where the only thing you had in common in Connecticut is that your dad was in jail, and that was it. And the police were running around. So I grew up with black people my whole life, you know? So I know how to talk to them. I told her, I was like, when's the government ever care about your health? Why would you ever take a shot from them? And she was like, you're right. They cleared out this whole field in North Carolina, the fairgrounds. She was like, it reminds me of Resident Evil. She was like, yeah, I don't think I'm going to take that shot anymore. I was like, yeah, I don't think you should. And, you know, I don't want to, like, maybe I am a white nationalist because I'm white and I love this country. But, you know, one thing that could scare our politicians more than anything is when you have white guys like me gathering up with African-American folks and they're agreeing with you. And that really gets them scared. And, you know, that I agree with what you said last show. You know, they're kind of, like, controlled by puppets. You have, like, these different political, you know, committees controlling them. And I think that's what you're seeing now. And you saw it today when they – I read this article on Apple that said there were 12 service members who were unvetted. I'm assuming they went to a NASCAR race or maybe they went to church and they posted about it. Who knows? But that's where we're at. And those National Guard troops out there in the Washington, D.C. aren't the troops who fought for America. All those National Guard troops out there, my bet, the majority of them are overweight, undeployed, part-time, you know, soldiers. So I was kind of wanted to get your take on that.
Yeah, the military for the last probably 20 years has been very compromised. I was a part of the Air Force for about 2 decades, and they would train us. I was in supervisory position, and we would have to read these training slides on how to handle your LGBTQ subordinates. And so, you know, they really are trying to subvert the rank and file, because that's who they fear. The rank and file military, if anything were to be done to control this country and take it back, that would be whose hands it would be in, quite honestly. And so despite their efforts, though, there's still just a lot of salt of the earth, mostly enlisted military, that don't go along with all of this. And so, yeah, I think you're right. The troops, you know, in vetting the troops that they sent to the Capitol, I think they're sending a message that, you know, they're trying to transform the military into their own private guard. But yet, you know, they're still scared. The politicians are still scared. I don't think the elites are, but the politicians are. So, yeah, I mean, your point is very valid. And so we'll just see how it goes. I don't see the military doing anything tomorrow. This is probably just going to be a confirmation.
Yeah, I'm not a QAnon person. Like, I don't believe in any of that. I think that those are, like, maybe older people holding on to this romantic idea. A lot of people I talked to today when I went to the dentist, you know, were older people, obviously. They seemed a little bit more optimistic, thinking, like, you know, after tomorrow we're not going to have to wear masks, you know? I'm just like, oof, you have no idea.
Those sweet, sweet summer children. No, it's just gonna double down. And to your comment about what's going to happen to the churches, I've warned my Sunday school class. I'm like, they're probably going to try to shut us down this weekend after the inauguration when Biden takes over. He promised a national lockdown. And where it really lies is, will the sheriffs and the state troopers enforce it? And in my area, they are not, I guarantee you. You know, John had a very good guest on tonight, John Stadtmuller, on his show. And it was Stuart Rhodes from the Oath Keepers. And Stuart has been advocating for years now that we should all get active in our local counties with our local sheriffs and municipalities to get on the same page with the militias. And they have definitely done that. Here, our sheriffs and our local state troopers, they are patriots. And by patriots, they are Trump supporters. And I'm not saying everything Trump did was right. Don't go there. But what I am saying is that if the church, if Biden does a lockdown and says churches have to close, our churches are not going to close in this area, in West Kentucky, west of the Kentucky Lake. And our sheriffs and law enforcement are not going to enforce it. So that's the beginning of resistance. And I think that's what we're going to see of the breaking apart of America, which I see is not only inevitable, but a good thing. We don't want to be part of these baby killers. We don't want to be part of this New World Order. And so just defiance, just absolute defiance and noncompliance. That's the way forward, is what I think. Let me get your final comments, Pat, and then we're going to move on to the next caller.
No, I agree completely. I don't have anything to say, but if you're going to cut me to the break, I won't even say anything. I'll just say I hope you're right. I hope I'm wrong, and maybe I should join a church. You know, maybe I should get my sheriff. But, you know, that's what it comes down to. They're taking down the churches in this country, and we're not doing anything about it. We are so much trouble, you know. That's it. It's like one of the last places you can communicate on monitored.
Yeah. Well, thank you again, Pat. Appreciate
your
call.
Great show. I loved your show last night too. So keep up the good work. Will always, you know, speaks beautifully, and I hope Mike calls in, Drunk Mike, and he reminds me of Big Gay Al. That's what I picture. Yeah, calls in, partying. You know, I just picture him with a Hawaiian shirt on. You know, sipping his martini.
All right. Yeah. Man. Thanks a lot for the call. Appreciate it, Pat. And let's move on to Ken from New York. Ken, welcome to the show.
I can't tell you how sorry I am that I wasn't born down south. It sounds wonderful compared up there. My brother-in-law just moved down to the western end of North Carolina, so I guess that puts him close to you, Georgia, and a few other states.
Hey, Pat. Hey, Ken?
Yes, sir.
We got a little background noise. I don't know what that is.
Oh, how about now? Just had to move around a little. Is it okay now?
Getting a lot better. There you go.
How about now?
That's good. We just want to be able to hear you. Go on, Ken.
Yeah. I was thinking about the your church outing, and up here we stopped going to the local church when we started to seeing a bunch of people would come in during the summertime, and they had tattoos all over them. And I could see that the preacher was visibly, well, the old preacher was getting about to retire, and he'd look out over the crowd, and he didn't look all that happy. And we just stopped going. You know, so I was very interested in your church outing that you talk about, you know, your shooting. I mean, up here, if you had a Nerf gun, you'd have people passing out.
It's a different area. I mean, and one thing that I've advised to people, and I know it's easy for me to say and it's hard for you guys to do, but if you're in a big city or an area that's like that, try to get out of it. Because the real America is going to migrate to these rural areas. And I know, Ken, I don't know what part of New York you're in right now, but
I'm in it's suburban. We're in eastern Long Island. And we have a sheriff that says he wasn't going to put up with Cuomo's edicts.
Well, that's a good start. I mean, maybe you don't have to move, and not everybody has to leave where they're at. If your local law enforcement are on the same page, that's where you start, and that's what the Oath Keepers representative on John's show today was talking about, is get with these people. These sheriffs and deputies, they're the ones that enforce, and they're the ones with the weapons, and they're duly elected and constitutionalists, and if they're not going to enforce it, you're in a good area. So, that's the only advice I can give.
We're supposed to have the oldest sheriff's department in the country. It started in 1683.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you might be in a very good area. It's hard, you know, it sounds like it, that you are, and I would just get with them and your local like-minded people in the community and push against this, and that resistance is the key. You know, peaceful resistance, but assuredly, and I know you FBI guys are listening in, I'm talking about defending our homes. In our neighborhoods, neighborhood watches. If that's illegal, then God help us. You know, we're going to defend anyway. So that's where
we're about to be thrust into a Bolshevik paradise.
Yes, most assuredly. Ken, I appreciate your comments. I'm gonna move on. If that's all you had, appreciate it, sir. We've got Dan from Washington. Dan, welcome to the show.
Hey, Jeremy, thanks for taking the call.
Hey, Dan.
Hey, before I had, when I went on your show, I texted you a little graphic of the average tariff rate in America.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you got that, but if you research the average tariff rate in America from, you know, the early 1800s till about after the Second World War, it was about 25%. And then after World War II, it started dropping. And by 1990, when Bush launched his New World Order, it was pretty much down to like one. And I think we're at an average zero tariff. But Trump did actually start putting tariffs on China. And so it's just important to bring up tariffs because even on Rivero's show or Keith Rogers or and especially the mainstream media, it's a very simple answer, like a historical answer of why the jobs went to China to begin with. And, you know, one way we've been subverted is just lies about why the jobs left, you know, lack of education or Americans don't want to do those jobs and this kind of stuff. But, yeah, if we do set up our own nation, you know, we need to have like a 10% tariff on imports like they did after the American Revolution and start bringing jobs back, you know. And so, yeah, I agree with you. This whole thing, China doesn't have anything we didn't give them, right? I mean, Nike, they didn't come up and steal a Nike shoe factory. So,
yeah, and actually they bought up a paper factory in my local area and created jobs. So, I mean, I'm like, okay.
Right.
Yeah. So,
yeah, like, you know, and there could be, yeah, they could benefit us, you know, and especially if you're into farming. That's probably about the only thing we export to them is raw materials and stuff. But yeah, it doesn't need to be a lot of soybeans. Yeah, yeah. In Washington, we grow a lot of lentils and soybeans as well. So, did you watch the Tucker Carlson? He edited it out that it was November. I wrote it down. November 28th on Tucker Carlson. He talked about a Chinese professor, Da Shang. I think it's pronounced. And he talked about how, you know, for decades they subverted America through Wall Street making deals. But Tucker edited out that he was talking about Jews, the Chinese. He specifically said we make deals with Wall Street Jews. And it was kind of funny. So it's, you know, the Jewish elite is engineering the conflict between us and China and, so what do you think about that? I mean, look at Biden's new cabinet. You know, it's just so obvious. And you got sellouts like McConnell or, you know, the guy that owns Nike as well. But
totally Bolshevik. I mean, the Jewish elite ran things in this country for decades. And I think they see the Chinese as competitors. And that might be why they're engineering this left and the right towards conflict with China. Is because they see the Chinese truly taking power from them. That could be what it is.
Yeah, I agree. So I guess we shouldn't get caught up in that. And even on, I listened to the interview with Oath Keepers. I forgot his name on John Stadtmiller's show. And but even he was saying they're Chi-Com agents. You know, all, these people are all Chi-Com agents, but. You know, Wall Street controls the Chi-Coms pretty much. So unless it is like you're saying, I mean, they're getting uppity. You know, China's wanting to control its own stuff more. You know, instead of just making the shoes, they want to own the shoe factory kind of thing. And seems to be a power play that way. But
I will say, the American government are the aggressors to China. If China is, you know, infringing on us. All this happened after the Hong Kong riots. It really escalated. So it's a very scary world.
That was pretty much engineered, right? You know, by us, probably the CIA, the Hong Kong riots. And anyway, yeah, I guess scary world, but good to have an escape plan. You know, if we go to war with China, I live close to the Canadian border. So that's what I'm going to do. Just go up to Canada or go to Mexico or something. I don't know, but I'm not going to fight for it, you know. Makes you feel like a little guy, you know, where they can create these wars and get you know, 500 million people killed if they wanted to. And it's all just being engineered, you know, from Wall Street and stuff. So anyway, but I'll shut up, but tariffs, you know, remember tariffs because that's a good weapon against it all, the whole New World Order. So, all right,
tariffs
have
work.
A good night.
Appreciate it, Dan. Thanks for your call. And we'll go on now to Rhonda from Missouri. Rhonda, welcome to the show.
Hi, Jeremy. How are you?
Hey, doing great tonight.
Okay, so real quick, I've been listening to RBN. I heard some, we'll call them rumors, because they're not rumors until they're fact. Somebody was saying that Mike Lindell, MyPillow, is being boycotted from certain stores.
Yeah.
Well, they're not rumor anymore because I verified it. Supposedly Costco, Kohl's, and Bed Bath & Beyond. The
yep.
only people that had the gumption, if you will, to admit it was Costco and Kohl's. And I called them out on it. And I said, why can't I buy my pillow from your store? And they said it was political. I think everybody should call them out. Kohl's, I was on their mailing list, and I told them to delete me. I'm not shopping there anymore. Because, you know, I said, you guys, you know, it's really difficult because you don't want Americans to lose their job. Although Bed Bath, it was the Philippines that answered my phone. At least they could understand, if you know what I mean. But either way, very nice people. At least I was able to get out. Don't get the vaccine. You know, I was able to educate him on that. One guy's like, yeah, and the other guy was like kind of a millennial. So at least do your research before you take it. So just boycott these stores and don't, you know, don't shop there. I've deleted my Facebook page for the same reason, because when I share my information and what I share is deleted on YouTube, I'm like done. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I appreciate the call, and Rhonda, and Jack from California, I apologize, you got in a little late. We can't get your call, but call in tomorrow night. We will have the Caped Crusader. Patrick Slattery will be on Wednesday night. And Jack, if you call in, we'll take your call here on In Plain Sight. We'll see you tomorrow night.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an energy cleaner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an energy cleaner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.